Welcome to Castles and Cryptids, where the castles are haunted and the cryptids are cryptid as fuck. And the episode is 39, which is almost 40.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's old as fuck, as we just discovered.
Yeah.
Very old and as fuck. And I'm Alana. What?
I said it's very old as fuck.
It is. We're in our 40s now. I consider that an achievement. And this is actually the last episode of 2021, which I also consider an achievement because, you know, it's an effort to complete a project or get a project going for half a year or so, you know?
Yeah, well, it's been 9 months now.
9 months. Yeah. That's crazy. We're going to have our, like, anniversary weirdly at, like, the end of March because that's when we started.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's fine. I'm just glad we're still going because it kind of counts as something that started during pandemic times, but we, like, definitely intend for it to be a long-lasting endeavor because we really enjoy it.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys enjoy it, too. Keep coming back for more.
All 14 of you that downloaded it this first thing this morning. Boom, boom, boom!
Yeah.
Give me that new episode, they said.
Yeah. Quite crazy.
Oh, and I went to our YouTube, and it already had a couple of views. But anyway.
The YouTube in total is like in the 300s, all the videos together.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You guys, do you like videos? Because we've started incorporating them into our Patreon, and I know podcasts that incorporate either small segments or just them recording the episode.
Yeah.
If people want to, like, see it visually on YouTube and stuff. So let us know. I know some of our fans watch us that way all the time. Looking at you, Josh.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I love it. Listen to us, watch us wherever, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure it all counts as good things. I know as soon as I told my brother about, did I say this already? Oh, I'm going to sound like an ad, but
talked about it last week.
It could be. Okay. Yeah. Different, you know, different platforms like Good Pods where you can listen to podcasts and rate them and stuff. But yeah, it's all good. We love all the love.
So, what's this week's topic?
I think it might be Florida man crimes. Yeah. Florida man crimes.
Or Florida person crimes, whatever.
It's definitely Florida person crimes. Yeah. You're right. We are not limiting this to dumb people with penises.
Yeah. Florida seems to affect everybody.
Florida person crimes. It's the heat.
Yeah. It's heat. I don't know. Florida seems like such a big place that, like, so many really old people go to, like, after they retire. Well, like, mm-hmm. It seems like that would be such a weird place for all this weird stuff to happen if it's so many old people there.
Oh, yeah. Even though, I will say most of my demographic is quite young, I noticed.
Yeah.
Of my Florida men and Florida persons. But there's definitely at least one person over 40 in there. So it doesn't exclude any older people from being dipshits.
No.
But you're right. It does seem like off kilter to have so many young, dumb people there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They're definitely everywhere. We must say that. I have never been to Florida myself, unfortunately.
No.
I should like to go. We're working on it, you guys. We, we're working on it one state at a time.
Yeah.
We don't travel much, but we may or may not have a trip coming up to the U.S. in the new year. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Bonus content.
Yeah. Hopefully if you want to join our Patreon, maybe we'll upload some stuff from where we are. when we're on our little vacation.
Exclusive behind the scenes. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. No, as we talked about, we were supposed to go to Vegas in 2020.
Yeah.
And things like seeing the Zach Bagans Museum are still top of our list because we had to rebook our trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let us know what you want to see on Patreon for that, for that matter.
No. I promised my parents we wouldn't drink a lot.
Right. No, we didn't promise we wouldn't investigate paranormal things, though.
No.
Or go to the Binion's Casino.
Yes.
And take a picture there. Because we've already covered a case.
Yeah. I definitely want to see that casino.
Yeah. If the million's still there, we'll take a picture with it.
Yeah.
And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, that was episode...
I have no idea.
You know what? Neither do I. It was one of our true crime ones. I thought it would be one of the most recent ones, but now I'm like,
Which one was it even? Oh, it was the killer couples.
Kidnapping? No.
No, killer what? Couples.
Oh, yes! It's because it was a weird one that didn't really...
Yeah, mine this week...
At first glance, fit the assignment.
Yeah, mine this week also doesn't necessarily fit the... Let's just say, call it the meme that is Florida Man. It's crime that a man in Florida committed doesn't necessarily fit the stupidity of typical Florida Man crimes, but...
Oh my god. Okay, you know you have to go first now because I'm very confused. And mine are just mostly a bunch of Florida Man headlines.
I have a few to close out. A couple headlines. One that just made me giggle.
Yes, I will say I stayed away from anything that was people inflicting any harm on others other than themselves. You know, no bestiality, no hurting other victims or children or... Yeah, I just... As long as you're just an idiot hurting yourself, I was like, you're fine for my list, mostly.
Yeah, my...
Try to keep it light.
My main case, I mean, it's a murder, but...
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know. Is this sort of a more of a deep dive than the rest of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I have as deep of a dive as 3 pages of notes can be. I told you mine was like one of the shortest segments I've ever done. It'll be slightly longer than the Australia ice cream truck murders was. That was 2.5 pages or something.
That's true.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that one because I think that was after my case, which was so emotional to me that I'm basically like, what? Oh, yes. You killed somebody with a sword? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Ice cream truck, turf wars.
I know. Do you think someone's like, the getaway driver or whatever is coming down on the scene with the little ice cream truck no music playing?
No.
How does that go?
I don't know. I can never like quite... I know it when I hear it, but I can't mimic it.
Oh, I know. All right, what's your case?
So I'll read you the headline that first got this, because there's actually quite a few of them in Florida when you look at Florida Man headlines.
Oh, hell yeah.
This was the one, but there's a number of these specific ones that are popping up in recent years, and it is the headline, "A Florida Man's Job Application Led to His Arrest in a 1998 Cold Case."
Oh.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of these headlines that are, like, popping up now of them solving, like, cold cases in Florida because Florida men be being stupid. And they're applying for jobs. They're getting, like, DNA testing done from, like, genealogy websites and all these things. Yeah.
Right. Oh, my God. I didn't, I wasn't looking for it, but I didn't come across anything like that in my research.
Yeah, there was a few of them that came up when I was looking up different lists. So on August 24th, 1998, hopefully I stick to, her name is Sondra, S-O-N-D-R-A. Okay. So if I ever say Sandra, I'm just, it's a mistake. Yeah. It's Sondra.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, no, no. Not saying it doesn't matter, but like, yeah, I understand.
And her last name is Better.
Do better about it.
Yeah. I'll try and do better about pronouncing her name, Sondra. So, unfortunately, she was working one of her last shifts before she was set to retire from her job at a consignment store. And she was actually in the process of planning a trip with her husband to go to New York to renew their wedding vows and celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary.
Aww.
Yeah. It's sad.
Uh-oh.
Poor Sondra.
Yeah. Don't rejoice just yet. I'm well aware.
No. So, two teenagers entered the consignment store after they noticed it was still open 30 minutes after the usual closing time.
Oh.
Yeah. And they found 68-year-old Sondra on the floor, and she had been stabbed and bludgeoned to death.
Oh, no.
And then her throat had been slit. And she had actually kind of fought back, so she had quite a few, like, wounds from fighting her attacker.
Aw, Sondra.
Yeah. So, Better, or Sondra, had been the only person working that day at the consignment store. But she actually didn't need the money of working there. So, more than 10 years before that, her husband had sold his electricity supply business. And the pair had moved to Highland Beach in Florida. And the one article I found described Highland Beach in Florida as a tiny community made up of streets such as Tranquility Drive. Yeah.
Because if you're going to retire,
you want to live on
Tranquility. Might as well be on Tranquility.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it stated that almost every house at the time, at least in the 90s, had a like private boat slip. And that there was almost every house also had a swimming pool. So it's a fairly, like, even though it's a tiny community, it's a fairly wealthy community.
I'm sorry, they need a place to put their boat and then they need a pool because they can't swim in the lake?
I guess. I'm not sure. Yeah. So
picture of entitlement.
Yeah. Sondra had actually become kind of bored as her three children had already grown up and had moved out of the house. So a friend of hers is the one that had suggested she get a part-time job at Lou Shea's consignment boutique. So that's where she had been working. So she was selling furniture or selling vintage furniture and kind of like trinkets for about 8 years. And this consignment shop was on a strip of highway that was famous for, like, thrift shopping. So I'm sure there was other, like, stores nearby.
Ooh, sounds like a fun place to go, actually.
Yeah.
Do some shopping, you know. Try and find some, like, I don't know. I love a good secondhand find.
Yeah, they're fun to look through. Even just browsing through all the vintage stuff is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So her husband, Zeke, says that she enjoyed getting up and having something to do and, like, something to look forward to each day when she was working. And, yeah, the couple had met in Brooklyn in the 1940s on a blind date.
Which is cute. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So Zeke says, quote, "She was just out of high school and I was fresh out of World War II. I saw her once and never stopped seeing her." Isn't that cute?
Oh my gosh. They're like that couple that took the famous picture after World War II where the guy's just grabbing the...
A random girl.
I don't know, I guess. I don't remember. I think I read something one time that actually talked about who they actually were. But yeah, and I'm not sure if it's actually his, like, wife and he hasn't seen her or his girlfriend or whatever, but he's just, like, kissing her and, like, bending, you know, dipping her. And with her foot's up in the air and whatever. It's just, like, so iconic. You're like,
from what I remember, when I heard about it, it was just some random girl he grabbed. So not great, but
still. Yes! That sounds about right, because, like, every famous picture, people almost have, like, a preconceived notion of it, and then you're like, but actually, like, you would think that's his wife, but no. Yeah. She's like, I never saw him again.
Probably.
Probably.
So, police, they kind of start piecing together what they describe as a pretty messy crime scene. They said that there was tons of evidence to gather. So, there was a trail of the killer's blood that led from Sandra's body to the cash register and then to the front door. So.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And I didn't think this was going to go here tonight.
I know.
I was going to tell people this is an episode you want to try if you don't mind, if you don't like gore.
Yeah, that's why I picked some uplifting headlines to close up my segment.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting.
Yeah. So there was two, like, heavy decorative marble, like, balls. I don't know if they'd maybe be, like, the size of maybe, like, a baseball or something. And they were part of a set of three. So two of them were found next to Sandra's body, and they were covered in her blood. And then police found fingerprints from the killer on a third ball from the same set that was still sitting on a table in the store. So probably where the person had grabbed them from. So police believed it was a robbery because the register had been cleaned out. But they were kind of confused because Sandra's Rolex and diamond ring were not taken.
Oh my god.
And a Rolex.
As if anybody desperate for cash doesn't know what, you know, a valuable Rolex and ring looks like.
Yeah. So instead, only the money in the register was taken. And police also noticed that there was a like, decorative cake knife that went missing that same day from the store, and they assumed that this was their unknown weapon that had been used to slit Sandra's throat.
A decorative cake knife? What does that even mean? Anyway, it's just...
It's probably fancy. If it's in a consignment store, I assume it's a pretty fancy cake knife, not one you'd buy at, like, the dollar store.
I mean, you just need a big knife for that. That's all I'm saying.
It's fancy rich people in Florida. They got knives for cake.
Or just like when companies try and sell you a product that you really don't need, like a bagel slicer or something, where you're like, I think I can do it without cutting off my hands.
Yeah. I just need a bread knife.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Our ancestors lived this far. Yeah. Sure, we can figure it out.
So information came through about a suspect. So they believed that half an hour before Sandra was found dead, there was a shopper that she was seen talking to. There was a tall, slender white man, and he was kind of trying to haggle.
A slender man?
I know, that's what I thought every time. Every time I'm like, slender man. No, it's a slender white man.
Still, slender white men can be very creepy.
Yeah. And he's tall, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So she was seen talking to this, or I guess it was reported that he was kind of trying to haggle over the price of this couch with her.
Oh.
So I don't know if he was getting kind of heated over it or what that conversation was like. But the person that kind of let the police know that they had witnessed her talking with this customer, they didn't recognize the man or have, like, a name for the police. So the police from the fingerprints from the metal ball and then the DNA from the killer's blood, that was all ran through, like, national, like, database. But nothing came back as a match. And unfortunately, 2 years after Sandra's death, the case went cold.
No.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So, in the year 2000, police were kind of being kicked about, like, not being able to solve this because it had already been 2 years. But they had said that they had interviewed about 37 different suspects. So they were trying. And
I'm sure they were. Yeah. I'm sure we, like, much as you watch a documentary show, we still don't understand how hard it is to work a cold case.
No.
People die. You literally lose evidence. Like.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, out of their 37 suspects, it included people who had just gone to the hospital with, like, minor cuts, or even injuries that were consistent with a fight from that same night that the murder took place, as well as a specific man who was a furniture mover, and he had left town and moved immediately, like, the next day after Sandra's death. So he was questioned.
Oh my god.
And then...
the next day this guy moves?
Yeah. Like, packs up and immediately moves. So he was kind of suspicious, but he cleared out.
Just a bit.
Yeah. And then there was a man who also repeatedly just showed up at the consignment store and was asking questions about Sandra's murder. So police collected all of their DNA and ran it, and nothing matched what had been found at the scene from that night. And jumping ahead to 2015, Zeke Bedder, who was Sandra's husband, he died in 2015, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah. And he had funded a scholarship for criminal justice students at the Florida Atlantic University and had spent the 15 years out of 17 years since Sandra's death. He had spent 15 years of that volunteering for the Delray Beach Police Department. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He got involved with the police force then.
Yeah, like after his retirement, basically. And according to the Palm Beach Post in 2002, he was quoted saying it has been very, very hard. I will always miss her no matter where my life takes me, and I will never stop missing her.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
So, jumping ahead to our Florida man. In December of 2018, Todd Barkett had applied for a job as a certified nursing assistant.
Just take a pause. Uh-oh. Right there. Oh, right. Todd.
Ugh. Why do you want to be a certified...
I don't even know. I just know it's not going to be good.
I know, but it was like this dude murdered somebody and he's applying to be a nursing assistant. Like, fuck you, Todd.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like,
right.
I don't like that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, not at all.
Not great. So, part of his application to become the certified nursing assistant, he was required to submit a set of fingerprints as part of his background check.
Good.
Yeah. And the police in Delray Beach were then notified that his prints actually came up as those matching the ones that were found on the ball from this cold case from, like, what, 20 years before? So, 51-year-old Barkett was living in Brandon, Florida, about 200 miles away from the Delray Beach where the murder had taken place 20 years before. And detectives discovered that he had owned a mobile home near Lantana, which was 10 miles from Delray Beach at the time of the killing. So that's where they assumed he lived, in this mobile home, about 10 miles away from the store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Doing his crimes.
Yeah. So, they also matched him to the description of the man. So, tall, slender man.
There's that thing on Wine of Crime where, I think it's like a made-for-TV movie. Tall, hot, blonde, or something like that.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that's what you're just making me think of, and I'm not seeing it, but it does sound familiar, exactly.
Yeah. So they matched his description as the guy that was seen in the shop with Sandra, but he had never been previously, like, listed as a suspect. So, quote, he has had no contact with law enforcement, getting arrested, or anything. He had a minimal criminal history, mostly traffic citations. So he flew under the radar, even for the 26 years before this occurred. It was quite surprising. So that was a quote from the Delray Beach police captain, John Crane Baker. So he
what
had
up,
like
Baker.
Yeah. So Barkett had no like prior criminal history other than traffic violations before or after the murder. So this is like a one-off kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Which kind of seems quite surprising for it to be a one-off. You'd violently murder somebody like that.
Yeah, that's just it. They usually say then, well, that's probably not their first time.
Yeah.
They do something so elaborate. Exactly.
But...
or so TV would lead us to believe.
Yeah. So police said when they showed up to Barkett's door, he didn't seem surprised when they said that they were there about a possible connection to the 1998 murder. And when they brought it up, he simply responded, okay.
Oh, God. Okay.
Not, oh, my God, are you guys arresting me? Oh, my God, what's going on? What are you talking about? Just, okay.
Very stoic. Very, yeah. I don't know. That's not a word, but I was going to say, like, he didn't react at all.
Yeah. So, yeah. He did consent, or I guess they, probably at this time, because he was a suspect, they took a DNA sample. And a few days later, it was confirmed to be a match to the killer's blood that was found at the scene. And Barkett was officially arrested and charged with first-degree murder and then the robbery as well.
Okay.
During the week-long trial, he pled not guilty. He pled not guilty. And during the trial, it was revealed that the marble ball, that third one, that had the killer's fingerprints on it, at this point, 20 years later, had actually gone missing. So like you said, in 20 years, a lot of stuff can happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Yeah.
Barkett's attorney, Joseph Welsh, told the jury, "You'll never see the very ball Mr. Barkett is alleged to have touched in that store. There was a failure." There was a failure in how the processing of the crime scene was conducted.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
But, damn.
So, prosecutors, instead, I mean, they still have this huge blood trail that's leading from Sandra's body to the cash register and then out the front door. So they focus on that as their main evidence and the fact that his blood or his DNA matches the blood. And the assistant state attorney, Richard Clousey, said, quote, "There is no other explanation for his blood being everywhere the killer's blood and robber's blood would be. He's the one that did it," end quote. Are you ready for Barkett's explanation about what all this evidence against him is from?
Oh, I'm sure it's great. Oh, it's, so, yeah.
It's so amazing. So, Barkett said that his fingerprints were on the marble ball because him and his wife were shopping in the store 2 weeks before the murder and that he picked up the ball. And then he says that his trail of blood from exactly where the body was to the cash register and out the front door was either caused by one of two things. Either he got a cut on his hand at his job working construction and it was bleeding while he was in the store, or he cut his hand really bad with his car keys. I just can't.
Can't you just relate to that?
Yeah, I totally just always cut my hand really bad with car keys.
Yeah, that's why they make them so razor sharp.
Yeah, enough to leave a huge, like, I don't know, like 20 meter long trail.
Frick. Oh, Jesus. My God.
So he says that he went back to the store the day of the murder and was looking to buy a surprise gift for his wife, and that's when he left the supposed blood trail. Either from his job or car keys. And he said that his blood was found on the cash register, because he made an impulsive decision to take the money when he saw that there was no employees around and that he didn't see Sandra's body on the floor, or he would have totally called the police.
Right, because if it's an armed robbery, it's a lot more years in jail. Yeah, but if you say you didn't harm anybody, you probably get off a lot easier.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I buy none of that, but I kind of, as much as I buy none of his excuses and the fact that his DNA puts him at the scene, I also kind of feel weird about this being his only crime ever. That they've found out about. It seems weird.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, God. Don't know.
Yeah. So, in her closing argument, Assistant State Attorney Alicia Cox said that Barkett decided to rob the store, and this, I think, was from one of the articles, just said he wound up using his 6'1", 175-pound frame to overpower the 5'2" and 95-pound Sandra Better. She was so small.
And he overpowered her. Okay, yeah. Then.
Yeah, because she's 5'2" okay. And 95 pounds.
I mean, it wouldn't take much.
No. I think this was from his defense. And I think this was from the trial. It says, quote, "The state needs you to believe, with no actual proof, that a man who's never been arrested before, married for 26 years, one day, for no reason, decides to come into a store, brutally beat a perfect stranger, for no motive other than to take $100 out of a cash register and not take anything else." And then...
What?
Yeah, $100 is all they got.
That was also very specific, too, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You just come in here, and you didn't take $100. Okay.
It's what? Like, in a consignment store, too, that's got a bunch of vintage stuff. You think they would have taken other stuff, other than a cake knife.
What the hell?
And going on, it just says, "And then in the past 21 years, someone who is capable of doing this has never had an encounter with law enforcement. That doesn't make sense, and that doesn't add up." Prosecutor Cox told jurors to reject this testimony, and they ended up doing it. Said, quote, "Please believe me that there's no way that this defendant and the story that he told you today at all, told you all today, makes any sense or is truthful," end quote. And the jurors reached their decision in less than 90 minutes, and they found him guilty of the first-degree murder and robbery, I believe. For some reason, that's not in my notes anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't even have... I think he was given life in prison. I don't know why that's not in here anymore.
I don't know. That got a little heavy.
Yeah. Jeez. John Shores, who is Sandra's son-in-law, says, quote, "It's a blessing. It's like God has looked down and brought us closure to the family. We prayed this day would come, and it has." "We prayed this day would come, and it has," Robin Shores said, who was Sandra's daughter. Said that she felt sad that her dad hadn't lived to see it. So, he had missed it by just 3 short years.
Aww.
Yeah.
That is sad.
Mm-hmm. So, that's everything I have for my Florida Man case. But I do have a few headlines that are much more uplifting.
Lay it on us.
So, I decided to do uplifting ones that just kind of made me chuckle or, I don't know, weren't negative in any way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel ya. I don't think we'll have too many repeating, because I took from, like, a couple different lists, but yeah, I think we'll be all right. There's a lot out there.
So, my first one is, the headline says, "September 5th, 2019, Florida man protects car from Hurricane Dorian by parking it in kitchen." So the little blurb says, "Patrick Elridge of Jacksonville, Florida, drove his smart car inside his home and into his kitchen to protect it from flooding and wind. quote, "My husband was afraid his car might blow away," his wife Jessica said on Facebook. It's so cute.
I mean. Yes. Not gonna lie, came across that and, like, yeah. I'm surprised he had a wife, though.
Parking his little smart car in the kitchen.
Yeah, I was like, what? Okay. Oh, smart car. Yeah, it almost makes it a little better, but still.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Oh my God. The next one I had just says, Florida man arrested after using wanted poster as Facebook photo.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. So the gentleman's name was Mac Yearwood. And it was from the Citrus County Police, and he was listed as wanted of the week. So it listed his name, that he was wanted for felony warrant for VOP reference to, two counts of battery, and it gave his age and height, and then showed a picture of him. So he posted that as his Facebook picture.
Oh, I have one question. Was he wanted, dead or alive?
probably alive.
Little Bon Jovi. Yeah. Oh my God.
The next one is, I mean, props to this woman. She is just getting shit done, I guess. I don't know. A Florida woman is selling a chicken tender shaped like a manatee for $5,000.
Okay, then. I have not heard about that.
No, she...
What?
And looking at it, honestly, it does kind of look like a manatee. I mean, she's not wrong, but it's still just a chicken tender and you're asking for $5,000.
Yeah. Don't people usually say things look like Jesus Christ so that they can...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to make money off it, but, like, at least he's more recognizable.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, anyway, so these pictures will be posted on the website if you want to look at them, because I did save... I'm reading off the pictures.
They will.
Yeah. My last one, I thought, just made me feel good. About the world, you know, because sometimes Florida man things can make you feel like the world's a bad place. So this one just made me happy.
I like a good happy one.
Florida man makes history as first person with Down syndrome to finish Ironman triathlon.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, so there's a Chris Nickick. He's a 21-year-old Special Olympics Florida athlete from Maitland, and he crossed the finish line in 16 hours, 46 minutes, and 9 seconds. And, the Ironman triathlon includes a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and a 26.2-mile run, totaling overall 140.6 miles, all to be completed within 17 hours. So he beat it by just under 15 minutes. And Nickick...
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Nickick, I could not.
No.
Just saying.
Nickick is the first person with Down syndrome to finish a full-distance Ironman triathlon. And he hopes to qualify for the 2022 Special Olympics USA Games in Orlando.
Awesome. Yeah. Holy shit! Good for him!
Yeah, that one just made me happy. So I was like, I'm gonna end it with that one.
Sorry, what's his name again?
Chris Nickick. N-I-K-I-C.
He's just amazing!
He's just 21 years old.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
No, that made me really feel good. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, sometimes Florida things, you know, they aren't all bad, so there's something really happy.
Oh, we would all like to judge. Florida, I'm sorry. We love you. You may be America's Wang, according to The Simpsons. Florida, that's America's Wang. But we all make in Canada, I should say, can talk. I feel like we all do that with the Newfoundland people yeah. make fun of newbies in Canada. It's just a thing. I don't know. Maybe we all have that state or that province where we just kind of tease a little bit. But, like, I don't know. That was a really good story. I didn't think I was going to feel good and uplifted during yeah. Florida man crimes. What the hell?
Yeah, that's when I was like, I'm going to bring it back up after my... after going to murder, because we had talked about this episode being so funny. And then I just went straight to murder town.
I mean, yeah, it has the potential to be a lighter episode.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But I enjoyed that story a lot.
Thank you. That's my
yeah. Ooh.
Yeah,
but... after that wonderful segment, let's take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Florida man crimes.
Yeah.
Just a few fun ones, mostly.
That's good.
Which nothing is nice, because... no! It's been another kind of frustrating year that hasn't been completely normal, and I'm happy to see it gone.
Yeah, did you know that Netflix is doing another death to... they're doing a death to 2021, like they did for death to 2020?
Oh my god, no, but I would watch that.
And
it's like a bunch of
the
same
people, and they have that girl back, the one that was really, really stupid, if you remember her. She's back.
I don't know if I do.
She was talking
about... I love this kind of shit, though.
Yeah, she was talking about, like, dating or something, I think, the first time, and this time she's like, you know what? I've got, like, dating down to a science. This has made it so efficient, you know? Zoom just makes my life easier, and it just shows her on a Zoom date. And she's on a Zoom date with three guys at the same time. And she just goes, yeah, so gentleman number one, this question's for you. And it just, like, cuts to something else in the trailer. And you're just like, oh my god.
It's the dating game from yeah. the 1950s to 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, on your home computer. I was just like, oh my god.
I love that kind of shit, honestly. I like Chelsea Handler. And then she, I remember I was listening to something where she was joking... I think she was on a different podcast, honestly, because I really haven't listened much to her own podcast, but she was like, yeah, COVID has changed dating, but only I can use it as a nice excuse if I have screened them all for COVID, and during our dinner date at my house, I go, oh, you tested negative, or positive, you gotta go, even if they didn't.
Oh my god.
She's just like, nope. You didn't make the cut.
Jeez.
All right. So, Florida man crimes. Oh, Florida man.
I know.
I love you.
In my head, I
Florida
keep,
man.
I kept thinking of this episode as, like, Florida, comma, man. Being like, Florida man. It's just Florida. Man, just Florida.
Dude, what's up with Florida? No. Yeah. I am from the East Coast. Really, parts of it are all fucked up. I get it.
Yeah.
Oh. My first Florida man headline was, naked North Florida man reportedly stole crashed police car. Is the headline.
Oh, gosh.
Officers were called to a highway with reports of a naked man running along Interstate 10, rather.
Jeez.
I mean, Florida is a pretty temperate climate.
Yeah.
I must say that. But Joshua Shanker, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce that, but 22, was found, quote, lying in the road when police arrived. He then ran across the road towards the officer.
Okay.
For some reason.
And then just stole his car somehow?
No, see, this was after they found him near the crashed police vehicle. Okay. He basically was like, arrest me! No, I don't know, but he did ran to... all reports I read said he ran towards them.
Oh my gosh. So
he was not evading arrest.
Yeah. He was not resisting. He was insisting he get arrested.
He was insisting. Yes.
Please arrest me.
Um, A crashed patrol car was nearby, matching one missing from Jacksonville. It had $10,000 worth of damage to it.
That's not even that bad.
As a true, former... it's a petty crime, really.
Yeah, as a former insurance agent, that's not that much damage when you're talking about a crash.
Oh my god. Yeah, I've recently learned it's very easy to do your minimum, right? What do they call it? Deductible.
Yeah.
It's easy to reach that just by, like, scratching the front of your car.
Yeah. Most people don't realize even, like, one airbag in your car going off can be, like, $8,000 to reset. Let alone the ones that are in, like, your side doors or anything.
Yeah, and not to be stereotypically Canadian, but we've had Reddit threads of people skating down Edmonton streets the last week because we've had so much freezing rain and cold weather that our friggin'... The main roads are okay, but the residential roads are very icy still. They're like an ice rink. Oh my god. It's so, I'm like, oh god, stop it. You're just being, you're just perpetuating this Canadian stereotype that we live in igloos and skate to work.
Yeah. Do you know what was always my favorite commercial? I don't know what it was for. It was like a typical Canadian thing and it just showed a bunch of stuff. And then one part was like a high speed Canadian police chase. And it showed, the car of the people trying to like, leave and they're stuck in like a snowbank and there was one person behind the car pushing it and then like it pans over like 20 feet behind them is the police car and there's a police officer behind the police car also trying to push the police car out of the snow. And it said like typical Canadian car chase and it was like because there's a police officer and like the criminals each trying to push their own car and nobody's arresting each other, they're just at their own cars. Was like, yeah.
Does it constitute chase if everyone is crawling?
Yeah. It was pretty great.
Man. Oh no, that is good. That is good, I must admit. I would also laugh at that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
It's an old commercial. It ran all the time. I saw it again like recently and I was just like, yeah, that one always gets me. I like it.
Oh, they have some cheesy ones.
Yeah.
All right, well, I have some cheesy headlines. Second one, Tampa man sets self on fire while committing arson.
Oh my, no.
Think about that for a second.
it's so painful, though.
Ooh, and this is one of our older perpetrators. Tampa, like, not young, dumb, and stupid, I mean. Older, but... Tampa police... This is a quote. Tampa police say Scott Anthony Massa, 51, was hospitalized with serious injuries after burning himself while trying to set a home on fire early Sunday morning. I'm sorry.
I'm shaking my head. You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head.
SMH, shaking my head.
Shaking my damn head.
51. Come on, buddy. Police say Massa broke a window at a home located in the 1600 block of West De Leon Street around 5:40 a.m. Then tried to throw a bucket full of accelerant into the home.
My god, a bucket full?
But it ignited, exploded, and set him on fire, according to the Tampa Police Department, end quote.
Oh, he's probably one of the idiots that tries to, like, pour gasoline on a fire that's already lit. Something.
Oh, God. Ugh. I do get a little confused by how, like, they're like, what? Grease fire, how do you treat that? I mean, sometimes it's a little intimidating.
With powder. All I know is with some sort of powder. Or they say now you can, the safest thing to do, I think, is to cover it, but you don't like put the lid on it, like straight on it and leave it like that. Cause if you lift it back up, it like whooshes again. You're supposed to like slowly slide the lid. Like if it was a pot or a pan, you'd slowly slide the lid across so that it
while it does that, it, like, uses up the oxygen, like, while it goes, while it closes or something. So then it won't whoosh. It'll just, like, die out.
I'm sorry. You got the hiccup.
It's the worst. Oh.
Yes. But the whooshing.
The so whooshing funny. Gave you the hiccups.
No, it can't have. Oh my god.
So he's throwing buckets of stuff.
Yeah, he tried to throw a bucket. But thankfully, the house did not ignite and no one was injured.
Other than him.
This guy is super flammable.
Yeah.
He managed to run away from the scene, but police put out a description of the man and his injuries. And he was soon found by an officer working extra duty at St. Joseph's Hospital.
Yeah.
It wasn't that hard, I don't think.
No, just ask. Yeah, if anybody shows up with burns and smells like accelerant, give us a call.
Yeah, like, most people smell like normal campfire.
Yeah.
It's not gonna fly.
Yeah. It'll be, yeah. Like, soaking wet, smelling like gasoline. Like.
And therefore, he was immediately detained.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'm still hiccuping. And Massa was brought to the Tampa General Hospital burn unit. Ugh. And his vehicle was impounded. Charges were being filed at the time of the article.
At least they caught him right away.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. A lot of these, like I said, I didn't pick ones that were, like, horrible crimes or anything.
No.
No offense. Oh, another fun one. Florida woman who once claimed she owned Google back in jail.
Oh my god. Back in jail.
I know. This woman, she's a plague on police officers' existence. She is a 42-year-old Summerfield woman, which I guess is in Florida.
Yeah.
And she, oh god, excuse me. She went berserk and claimed to own Google after a woman ordered her to leave her property.
What?
Yes. And now she's back behind bars. She's just like the worst neighbor you could ever have, I imagine. Where you're like, you're just going to hate everything I do. Whether I have a dog and it barks like once, yeah. You're going to be like, you have a yappy dog. Or whatever.
And I own Google. Like, what? Even if you own Google, doesn't mean you have the right to trespass someone's house.
Oh, like, exactly.
Oh my god.
Weird flex, but okay.
Yeah. So stupid.
Deputies in Marion County were called to a home in the 6200 block of Southeast 140th Street in January 2021 to respond to a trespassing allegation. They found 42-year-old Laura Beth Seymour walking across the backyard of the residence who called it in. So not across her own home. These are people just walking in the back alley, I guess.
Or backyard, maybe.
Possibly. I picture a back alley because I have, like, our yard and then, like, a park ours backs onto. So yeah. Some people could be backing onto, like, a walking trail. I'm not too sure. Once deputies realized he had been warned away from the property earlier in the day, they placed her under arrest. One deputy removed Laura's hat as she was placed inside the vehicle. The deputy noticed an aluminum foil piece stuck in the lining filled with a crystalline, substance.
Meth?
In her hat. Mark? What's that?
Is it meth?
Correct.
Oh god.
It does seem to be meth. Oh my god, I know. I was like, not ready for that part. Yeah. Laura, so she claimed she found it in the residence.
And I put it in my hat.
No, she's the best. Just wait. Laura pretends to not understand her rights as they're read, excuse me, to her.
I mean, that's one way to do it.
What? My rights? I have the right to what? No way! Laura Beth Seymour is a resident of Summerfield, and this incident was not her first incident with the police. Quote, Seymour also was arrested in April 2020 after a nasty altercation with a woman who told her to leave her property.
Oh my god, why does she just walk in everybody's stuff?
Right?
Like, fuck.
Stay home!
Yeah, stay on your own property.
A sheriff's deputy reported that Seymour was grabbing items at the property and throwing them out of a gate onto a roadway.
What the hell?
The deputy reported that she appeared to be under the influence of an unknown substance.
Meth.
Go figure. Yeah.
But she probably found in that house too.
I know, big surprise, but so shitty. The victim in that case said she was woken up when Seymour entered the back of her property, and when she was told to leave, she became irate, excuse me, and threw a can of beans at the victim.
A can of beans. I like that.
I mean, cans are heavy.
I mean, yeah, when I was looking up some of the Florida man things, it was like, son slaps mom in face with, like, piece of pizza or, like, something stupid.
Over, yes!
Like, yeah. Or, like, a pancake. I feel like
I have one or two coming up like that, and yeah. I'm almost done. I know, so silly.
Yeah.
The deputy responding to that incident said that she claimed to own Google and, quote, several businesses, and that she had used methamphetamine, the yeah. most likely thing she said so far.
Yeah, I'm sure the person that owns Google is not using meth.
There was also drunk man steals floating tiki hut in Key West.
What?
Which was found near Hawks Channel in Key West, excuse me, by the U.S. Coast Guard. And they found the intoxicated, quote-unquote, captain still aboard.
A tiki hut?
Right, so kind of like a little themed bar where, like, you have little people on tiki stools and
yeah.
maybe there's just some, yeah, some thatch things and some tiki torches, whatever. Yeah, but they just, like, basically took this thing that wasn't supposed to be floating independently. And okay. They rode off with it.
I was so confused. I was like, how is that floating? It's a bar.
I know. Okay. I was also confused. There are at least one or two pictures.
They wanted to make a swim-up bar.
Oh, it's, yeah, exactly, exactly. Except he makes it, like, so you have to swim farther because he took away with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And they found the intoxicated captain still on board, and the U.S. Coast Guard would like to remind us to not to drink in boat. Okay.
I like that. Don't drink in boat. I'm too poor to drink in boat.
Yeah.
I'd need a boat.
Right? So a lot of what I got for the Florida Man case was from a New York Post article, 20 crazy Florida Man headlines that made the meme what it is today by Natalie O'Neill.
Okay.
Just a little shout out to her. But, oh, they're just so good. You know, they all come with a date. The latest one, or the earliest one I have is June 11th, 2012. Florida man arrested for calling 911 after kitten denied entry into strip club.
I saw that headline.
Did you?
Yes.
I wondered if we come across some of the same ones. It says a man, Everett Leger, was arrested outside the Emerald City Which I thought was funny, because... Yeah. Not...
Wizard of Oz.
Well, yes, but also when you watch Oz, they call it Oz because they call part of the prison the Emerald City. It's a whole thing. But anyway. Calling 911 emergency services to report the club owner who denied his pussy entry into the Rippers. June 27th, 2012, Florida man chews off another man's face.
Oh, I remember that one.
Miami cannibal Rudy Eugene. My dad's name, Eugene.
Yeah, was that the bath salts guy?
You know, I'm not sure. It did not specify. It said he shot and killed. He was shot and killed when discovered with the remains, quote, quote, unquote, of his dinner. January 1st, 2015, Florida man trapped in unlocked closet for 2 days.
What?
Yes. John Arwood, 31, and Amber Campbell, 25, were in a janitor's closet for 2 days before calling 911 for help. A Toronto Sun article expands on this a bit and learned that they were at Daytona State College, and it wasn't until police arrived did anyone realize they could have just walked out at any time.
There are two college people, and there's two of them in the freaking room, and nobody tried the door handle.
I don't think they're enrolled in the college, to be fair.
I was like, wow.
I don't know if that makes it better, but it might. No, that is so stupid. I feel like they're literally just in this room for 2 days, and they're like, but we're not supposed to be in here, so we must be locked in. And you're like, but it just try it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Knock on the door, bang on it. Like, oh my god, 2 days.
No, oh my god, it's so stupid.
Just sitting there until you die. Like, fuck. Jesus.
They told police they had been chased into the closet on Sunday, but didn't call for help until Tuesday when they were tracked down and discovered amidst feces and, quote, ew, copper scouring pad often used to smoke crack.
Oh, well, that explains why the door wasn't tried.
They were like, no, we were entertained.
Yeah, I was like, why would two normal people just sit there for 48 hours and not try a door handle? Drugs.
I know. It still seems weird. And then we also had December 7th, 2015, Florida man killed by alligator while hiding from cops. This was kind of sad, as you can tell. There was a 22-year-old Matthew Riggins and his friend or accomplice that were in the Barefoot Bay area committing burglary, basically, you know, good old B&E, early on November 13th. This was 2015. They were spotted by police, but then fled, and canine helicopter search proved unsuccessful in finding them. And Riggins called his girlfriend to tell her he was being pursued by police, and then he was later reported missing later that day. And later that day, his body was also found, or sorry, probably like later that week, I should say.
His
body was found in a Barefoot Bay lake north of Ocean Avenue Way on November 23rd. And while sheriff's dive teams were retrieving the body, they came face to face with an alligator who was aggressively approaching them, quote unquote.
Ooh, that's scary.
I know.
I don't like alligators or crocodiles.
Apparently that was scary as shit. And it was later trapped by the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission and euthanized. And Matthew had, like, drowned and was missing his lower extremities and part of an arm.
Alligators in Florida, though. So cliche. Oh my god.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. And then, oh yeah, I had one from June 8th, 2017. Florida man desperate for a ride to Hooters calls 911.
Oh, I think I ran across that one too. Oh.
I know, it seems like if Wine and Crime did it, they would talk about it. But he told dispatchers he needed a ride to help his grandma who had a stroke in the parking lot. But after officers spent several hours looking for the grandma,
Wow.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's what I read. Jesus. At least two or three.
Oh, my God. I'm pretty sure you could solve that case in 5 minutes. There's no grandma at Hooters.
You would think, but honestly, I don't even know how they have to track down the leads of who to look at. So, I don't know. But yeah, he told them if he just had taken me to grandma's, I would have paid for the ride. But he was arrested on charges of misusing 911.
Yeah, then call the freaking cab company, you idiot.
Get over it.
Oh my gosh.
And just after that, January 9th, 2018, a Florida man tried to steal a rack of ribs by stashing it in his pants.
What?
Mayeli Alvarez Aquilar was caught in Indian Town, where he at once revealed a full rack of ribs that had been hidden under his waistcoat.
Gross. So, like,
or I think I meant under his waistband, actually, rather. People don't wear waistcoats anymore. Yeah. But yeah, just tucked under there.
That's and, gross.
I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to distribute that meat packaging all over the world, would you?
No. Is it with or without barbecue sauce, do you think? At this point.
They're not sanitized yet, I'm sure. It says the man, 26, was also packing more meat. I also wrote that because I was like, you can't say they're not packing more meat. Because it's a great play on packing more heat. But definitely like fried chicken. This guy was also carrying 2 packs of hamburger buns and mashed potatoes.
Oh, he's making some like, he's having a get together. Sounds like in his pants.
He's having a full barbecue in his pants, isn't he? Yeah.
He just needs some burgers. He needs some burgers in his pants. And
yeah, the things don't match up because no. He gets like a rack of ribs and then he gets like hamburger
mashed
buns.
Potatoes
and I'm like,
and hamburger buns.
Yeah, when are you getting chicken. The rack of ribs? When are you getting the hamburgers? What is happening? And then okay. Next thing I have is January 8th, 2019. Pre-pandemic. I remember things making sense then, sort of.
Yeah.
Florida man insists syringes pulled from his rectum are not his. I thought this was fun.
Cow. Just like my guy. I must have cut my hand on my car keys.
I don't have a rectum. What are you talking about?
I'm holding these for a friend. Like,
Wesley Dasher Scott had been pulled over and during a strip search claimed that the medical implements, I'll remind you, found in his rectum were not his. He claimed they belonged to a friend.
Sure.
Or what have you. Exactly.
How does that make sense?
Kelsey, you are my best friend, and I
need you to put these syringes up your butt.
Please take these syringes off of me. I only trust you.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone was going to go for it, it would be me. But still, this is insane.
Yeah.
All right. There was also a Florida man arrested on May 9th, 2019 for this license plate sticker called the I Eat Ass sticker. And I do recall I talked a bit around this on our Instagram because I thought it was hilarious. So Dylan Shane Webb, 23, was arrested for declining to remove a bumper sticker proclaiming his love for ass eating. However, he was ultimately let off due to protection of his First Amendment right to free speech.
Yeah, no. It's not a threat to anybody. It's not.
You're right.
You can put swear words on your car.
Yeah, and this recalled to me a memory where somebody from another podcast or whatever had, like, all this dirty stuff on their bumper stickers. Yeah. I eat ass, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my god, I don't have to.
I don't need to know that I'm much free. For your life, but okay.
No! There was one on October 22nd, 2019, where a Florida man on a Segway was charged with a DUI. This was one where he was actually over the 20s. He was 48, Andy Seegers. Oh, he rode his Segway while very smashed in front of a cop shop.
No.
So, not so very smart.
Ugh. Why?
I don't know. I really don't.
I'm just trying to picture somebody, like, that would be the equivalent of walking and, like, stumbling down the street and them trying to maneuver a Segway.
Yeah.
In that same state of, like, just leaning too far and being like, whoa.
Okay, I will be remiss if I don't mention this one. July 20th, 2020, Florida man tries to evade arrest by cartwheeling away from cops. So a video caught Gianfranco Fernandez, 40, wrenching himself out of an officer's grasp, then launching into a cartwheel outside of a shop in Orlando. You know what? I think that's the most I could find on it, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm trying to picture it in my head, that because it reminds me of, like, something, but I can't place what, like, from some movie or, like, some character from, like, something that would do something like that, and I just can't place it, though.
I was gonna say, all I have left for this episode is... I looked up a couple that were from our birth dates.
Yeah.
Just for fun. Literally, what I have for a headline looked up for your birthday was Florida man tries to order burrito at bank drive-thru window, thinks it's a Taco Bell.
Okay, that's pretty good. I like that.
I'm like, oh my god.
Can I get a number two with beans and guacamole? And they're like, sir, this is a bank.
Right. They're like, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
really pretty weird.
I like that. Do you have one on your birthday?
Not really. I started to look it up and then I kind of didn't. I'll have to do it some other time. Last one of 2021. Yeah. Doesn't mean we're not going to have some new ones the new year. January 7th. I think that's our latest episode.
We'll be back. I don't even think we've decided a topic yet.
Oh, I mean, as long as we get something cool for your birthday into January, I think we'll be all right. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, we got time. We'll figure it out. But maybe it'll be a surprise then, since we don't know as of this recording.
Yeah.
But if you guys miss us, you can join our Patreon, and we have 8 or 9 bonus episodes, and we will have one for December,
oh, hell
too.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
You can listen to all that while we take our little 2 week or so break.
It's very true.
Yes, but thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Happy holidays, and see you next year, or... hear you next year? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Hear you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been Castles and Cryptids. You can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and our YouTube channel. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Reddit. On our website, you can listen to all of our episodes as well as view pictures for each of our segments. Check out our Patreon page to view all of our tiers and become a Patreon supporter today to unlock monthly bonus episodes and behind-the-scenes content. We are working on an Ask Us Anything. You can submit questions by social media or by email at castlesandcryptids@gmail.com. Do you have a spooky ghost story, a creepy cryptid sighting, or a thrilling true crime tale you would like to share and have us include in a future episode? Send us your listener story by social media or by email. Please include the name that you would like mentioned. Our music is by Kobe Affair. Our logo and artwork is by Antonio Garcia. Thanks for listening!